5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast with your usual host, myself, Hayden Gullis, and of course, James Coker as well. It has just been the Qatar Grand Prix. There was a lot going on, a lot of controversy, a lot of chaos as well. So we're going to dive into all of that, dissect it, and give our thoughts and opinions on the race weekend. But before we do that, James, I believe you have a little announcement for us.
Yes. I'm having a baby. No, I'm just kidding. I already have one. yes, I am super excited that I'm going to be partnering this year. First of all, I'm going to the 24-hour of Le Mans.
And going
I'm
to so... Le Mans, baby.
Yeah, baby, Le Mans, Le Mans. I'm so excited. I was contacted by Motorsport Travel Destinations and talked to Matt Mills over there, and we arranged a partnership. I'm going to be going to the 24-hour Le Mans. I'm going to be staying in a cabin within the circuit itself.
Nice.
With Motorsport Travel Destinations. And they also have glamping and camping sites right next to the track. And so if anybody is interested in going to the 24-hour of Le Mans and you are interested in staying right in the circuit and not having to worry about like figuring out your shuttle and travel to and from the track, please check out Motorsport Travel Destinations website. They offer different options. You can like stay in a proper room. You can glamp, you can camp. It's like a 5-minute walk from the circuit entrance. You get like a full English breakfast every day, 20-minute walk to the start finish. And there's no other accommodation that you can sign up for that is like this in walking distance from the track. So if you have ever wanted to go to the 24-hour of Le Mans, please check out Motorsport Travel Destinations website. I'm going to be going. I cannot wait. They sell out every year. So if you're considering going, I recommend buying your package now in December. And that's it.
Sounds like you're in for a busy summer. Le Mans, I'm excited for you. That's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah, it's like a full week. So, you know, like I know the race is on the weekend, but, you know, with the practice and quali and hyperpole and all that stuff, like I think I'm getting there like on like a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then I'll be there through the weekend and preparing to not sleep over the course of Saturday and Sunday. So super pumped about that.
Yeah, get yourself ready on the days before and then catch up on sleep for the ones after. One that I don't think that we will be sleeping through, though, is the Qatar Grand Prix that has just happened. Now, I thought it was chaotic and exciting. You said to me before we started this podcast that it was a bit more of a dull affair, just because that you don't like the layout of the circuit. You don't think it's quite fit for F1 just yet in its current format.
I mean, I thought the race was boring until it got clusterfucky for a number of reasons, but I still like, yeah, there was absolute chaos and there were a ton of penalties, but like, I'm just, I'm not sold on the loose sail circuit and its current form. I feel like they need to make some changes.
Yeah, I think in terms of racing, it's, I don't feel like it's quite provided. If we look at the races that we had, it wasn't like we saw amazing overtakes, but even glimpses, and this is what I talk about a lot over the season, like Baku, for example, where you have a driver that's constantly attacking and another driver doing really well to defend. We didn't necessarily have that because the nature of the circuit is it's very fast and flowing. But if you follow in the wake of the car in front, you're going to overheat your tyres. And there's a lot of load on that front left tyre in particular, hence why the punctures happened in the race. And because of that, it means that you can't really follow. And then you can't really have those tense, you know, back and forth every sort of lap trying to battle it out. Instead, it's like, oh, I'm going to have this one chance. I've bottled my one chance because the guy ahead's defended really, really well. And now we're going to just sit in a train. Or we have what we had in the sprint where two drivers from the same team are up at the front and they can just give each other DRS and that blocks out the driver in third and then creates this DRS train.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, it just like, I know there's only been three races at the Qatar Grand Prix so far at LaSalle, but I feel like none of them have been particularly good races. So I just, something's got to change. I don't know what it is. I imagine that they don't have a ton of limitations on expanding the track or changing the track because I don't know exactly where it is, but it's not like it's Spa where they have all sorts of environmental restrictions on adjusting the track.
Yeah.
So I hope they change it up. You know, it was another sprint weekend. I thought the sprint race was boring. And we can go further into detail about this, but still not sold on the sprint, with the exception of the sprint race in China this year. I feel like most of the sprint races have been, I don't know, pretty underwhelming in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think this is just a point of most fans of Formula One. It's yes, okay. The argument is sometimes, I'd rather have an extra race than having a practice session because obviously there is more to talk about. The sprint race that we have had is more entertaining than a free practice session. Completely agree with that. But the race is still boring. Say that's what somebody tunes into for the first time on the weekend and says, I'm going to give Formula One a go, watches that sprint race and goes, this is boring. Okay, well, I'm not going to watch that again and not come back. And I think, I think the only way to really make a sprint race exciting is to artificially make it exciting, and that is adding different elements. So, for example, reversing it from championship order or from constructors championship order, something like that.
Agreed.
To mix it up. But then you get artificial and it's got to have the whole teams complain, and you have this whole political avenue that you've got to try and sort out between all the teams. But for me, the race is boring. I know George Russell got a lot of slander over the weekend for his comments that he made after the race, saying that the two drivers working together just created this train and made it rather boring. And I know that's how I wouldn't view my Formula One. That's what he said. But he also elaborated on it and said, I understand why they're doing it. They've got a Constructors' Championship to try and win. If Lando drove off into the distance, I probably would have overtaken Piastri. So that's one less point that McLaren would have had. So I understand it, but something needs to be done to make sure that obviously doesn't happen. Which I agree. There was a lot of people saying, oh, here's George Russell whining and moaning. But he's got a good point. I think unless you were a McLaren fan, nobody enjoyed watching that sprint race because it was just literally a train and nothing was going on. McLaren fans completely understand your team is 1-2, they're doing an amazing job, they win the race and get some good points for the constructors. But for everybody else, it's boring. It's the same way you would look at the races last season if you weren't a Red Bull fan and you'd say, oh, well, all the races were boring because your team's not dominating. But I don't think anybody as a neutral wants to see that.
But I will also say his comments about the two cars working together, that's been happening forever.
Oh no, like, fully.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of part of Formula One, and that's the one time the actual team aspect comes into play is when you have a rear gunner working with whoever the designated number one is, preserving a lead. So I don't know, he's complaining about that, but I'm like, that's part of the sport.
Yeah, it's part of the sport, but I agree with the comments that it is boring. So that it's not necessarily something that you can say, oh, I didn't like this, but this is how we're going to fix it. It's more just was a bit frustrating. And, you know, he's just airing his frustrations out to the media. He's just saying, you know, it was a frustrating race for me because I was stuck behind another car. I had nothing going on behind me. I couldn't do anything in front. And then I was just basically doing a test run for the last 20 laps. And that's basically it. And I think, you know, as fans at home, we can all agree the sprint race is boring.
Yeah. I think George Russell also just, like, he had a very solid weekend, mm-hmm. given that, like, Mercedes has not been, like, a top three team this year. Qualifying P2 in the sprint, getting pole, of course, it was due to the one place grid penalty for Max and the Grand Prix. Finishing, on the podium for the sprint, P4 in the Grand Prix. Like, he had a good weekend, but it was, like, just one step away from being a really satisfying weekend for him. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Whenever you see drivers complaining, I feel like you often have to take it with a grain of salt because it's them being selfish, yeah. saying like this prevented me from achieving my goal.
And that's up and down the field for every driver. And I know that fans would always be like, oh, I hate it when this driver whines. And it's just like, your driver whines too, okay? Every single driver on the grid whines. You might not always hear it on team radio because the broadcast might not always show. Like, Lewis Hamilton was in the spotlight this weekend on team radio and they aired pretty much all of his whining. But I can imagine there were a lot of other drivers whining throughout that race. It's just they didn't get shown to you. Or they were whining after the race about something. It didn't get shown to you. Every single driver does it, and you're completely right. They're all selfish because that's what this sport is all about. You know, they're an athlete,
right?
And they want to be the best of the best. And if they don't want to be the best of the best, then they have no place being in the sport because then they've lost it mentally and they're always going to lose to whoever they come up against.
Let's move to the sprint. Sprint qualifying. We had Lando Norris on pole for sprint, George Russell P2, Oscar Piastri P3, Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc P4 and 5 with Max in P6. The sprint race itself, I feel like we don't really need to go into too much detail. We've already talked about it. Like, I feel like it was pretty boring. And with the exception of Lando swapping spots with Oscar at the end, I feel like not a lot happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of anything that happened. It's a weird one, what happened at the end. Obviously, the two drivers swapping. It completely makes sense. Lando Norris just giving a race win back for the race win that was gifted to him in the Sao Paulo sprint, if you remember, those of you at home. In the sprint race at that time, Lando Norris still mathematically could win the driver's championship. So Oscar Piastri was leading. They swapped over just before the virtual safety car was deployed. And Lando won the race, even though Oscar Piastri was the better driver. It was kind of roles reversed to this weekend. Oscar was the better driver, but was slowing down to make sure that Lando had the DRS so that Lando couldn't be overtaken. Now it was roles reversed in Qatar. Lando was helping Piastri, giving them the DRS, but very nicely done. Whether it was the team or the driver's decision, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it still comes down to Lando Norris and very, very classy from him. That he gave that win back, because the team could be like, look, mate, if you could, as he did give you one, but the driver could say, no, that's on him, and I will keep that win. This is my win. Thank you for giving that to me, but this is what I'm going to do. And a lot of drivers could do that throughout the field. I'm not going to name names, but I think there are a few drivers that might just be selfish and keep it to themselves. So Lando and Oscar know now that they can work for each other no matter what happens next season, which is really good to keep a good teammate relationship if Lando goes for the championship again next season and Oscar Piastri for some reason falls short of it.
I agree. I think it showed a lot of maturity from Lando Norris, willing to sort of pay it back or pay it forward in regards to swapping positions with Oscar Piastri. He said in the interview the team didn't want him to do it, and he didn't I think really reveal that he was going to do it, but he just he did it.
It's risky, but I think as well, it was close.
It's very risky. Yeah. But I think it just shows that right now, especially now that the World Drivers' Championship is settled, Lando Norris is willing to be a team player and is prioritizing team harmony over his own accolades.
Yeah, fully. Which it's not like we haven't seen that before. Of course, Hungary was a bit of a shock to a lot of people that he had to give the win back and they were asking for it after a McLaren mistake. But the fact that he did that was, again, classy. And showed that he is a team player. For all the slander that he also gets and is put in the spotlight, I think what he did in the race today was for the sprint race was spot on. In the normal race, of course, he made that mistake, but we'll come on to that.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Moving on to qualifying for the Grand Prix, not a ton of surprises. Both Williams were out in Q1. Esteban Ocon also out of Q1. Saubers were quicker than usual.
Yeah.
You know, they qualified P12 and 13 respectively. I feel like we have tended to see both Stake/Kick/Saubers out in Q1. It's like sort of been a normal occurrence this year. So they were qualifying and in better form than we expected, which was nice.
Yeah, something's happened at the end of the season for the last three races that all of a sudden, well, I mean, we haven't had the last race so far, but for this last triple header, as we're going through it, they have had good pace to be in that battle with the other midfield teams. Whereas you look at the last triple header, especially on Joe's side, the car that he had, the updates that he had, had no pace compared to his teammate, and then his teammate, of course, to the rest of the field as well. So really, really good for Stake and Sauber, for both of those drivers in particular, because you don't remember really a driver's first few races of the season. You remember the last few races before they leave. And I think if both of them can leave on a high, it could give them an opportunity to find a seat, whether that is in Formula One elsewhere as a comeback for 2026 maybe, or, you know, another team will look at those last few results. Have they still got it? Okay, no, yeah, they're still performing well. Okay, cool. We'll look into trying to sign them up, say, IndyCar, WEC, or whatever it may be.
Pierre Gasly just missing Q3 by half a tenth. But nice surprise, especially since he is about to be off the grid. K-Mag, nice little Q3 appearance for him. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see a little bit of variety. Checo in Q3, qualifying P9. And then, of course, we had back and form Max Verstappen on pole.
Yeah.
Until.
Yeah. So it was taken away from him.
Yeah, which was like a whole nother thing in itself. Like,
yes.
When I watched it, the penalty that. So if you're just listening now and for whatever reason you didn't watch the race, Max Verstappen qualified on pole. George Russell then went and complained to the stewards because Max Verstappen got in George Russell's way, but they were both not on a push lap.
Yeah.
They're on an out lap. But he complained. So I guess technically per the rule, it could warrant a penalty.
Yeah.
But instead of awarding, he was given a one place grid penalty, which then gave George Russell pole. And Max Verstappen in an interview, it was either after qualifying or after the race, said that he has now lost all respect for George Russell.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, George Russell did what any other driver would do? Or do you think he goes a step further than other drivers when it comes to complaining to the stewards about things like this?
Unless it's on Drive to Survive next season, it's something I don't think we're going to see for the time being. So it's hard to give an opinion on it. But with Max Verstappen, he is very much what you see is what you get. And that's what a lot of people like about him, is that he's completely honest. He'll say how he feels. He won't sugarcoat anything. George Russell is the complete opposite. In front of the cameras, he is very, you know, he's PR63. He is very much smiley, happy, motivating, always positive, always playing up for the cameras and you know, trying to look the best in front of the cameras, not say the wrong things as well. So if there's an incident with another driver, apart from that incident with Bottas and Imola those years ago, but let's go back to the one with like Alonso, for example. I think it was at the start of this season in Australia where Alonso was in front of him. He got caught up in the dirty air and then lost the car. In front of the media, he was like, "Oh, we'll wait to look at the replay and see what happens, because I haven't really seen what's happened yet." Whereas another driver could, or he, Max Verstappen, if he felt like Fernando Alonso brake too hard, would say at that time he broke too hard, because Max will keep himself honest. He will say how he feels. But then going into the stewards' room, George Russell, the real George Russell, will come out. And I think a lot of drivers will. You don't ask, you don't get at the end of the day. And it's something that all the drivers do. You look at Max Verstappen asking that question about Lando Norris. Did he slow down under yellow flags? He is inadvertently snitching on another driver because he's seen something.
They're all tattletales. Exactly. They're all narcs.
We've seen it with track limits before, especially Austria. Yeah. Someone's following another car. Oh, the track limits for him. Make sure you tell the stewards. They all do it. But I think what wound up Max the most is that Max will do it and he'll happily admit it. He will not shy from doing it in front of the cameras, whereas George Russell would do it in front of the cameras, and then in front of the stewards, he's a completely different person. And I think that's what really annoyed Max Verstappen, because that's not who he is.
Got it. Will the real George Russell please stand up?
But in terms of the actual penalty decision, I don't know what your thoughts are, of whether you think that he should have got a penalty, or should have Max got a penalty for it.
I mean, I guess if according to the rules, it warrants a penalty, then sure. And then I guess because it was on an outlap and there weren't really stakes involved with the penalty itself, a one place grid penalty seems appropriate. But I feel like I'm not a steward and I don't pretend to know as that much about the nuances and the specifics of the rules. If they're both on an outlap and it's not impeding another driver trying to put a time on the board, like, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I feel.
No, I think you're valid to that opinion, because I think it's a good point. And I think it's not on an actual lap, so therefore it's not necessarily impeding, which is what we've seen people get dinged for before, is impeding. Going slowly and being dangerous could be something that's maybe the avenue that they try to go down. But then you open up this Pandora's box, because Alonso, I think, said it in an interview as well. Oh, okay, well then if I see a driver ahead of me and I'm on a slow lap, I'm just going to accelerate, drive into them flat out, and then have to wiggle my wheel to avoid them, and then complain about them and they get a penalty and I get a free position, which he's totally right. And you open up this loophole of like, oh, hang on a minute, I can get other drivers penalized here, and then the stewards are going to be like, right, okay, there's something that we might have to look into here to fix. Smart from George Russell to kind of figure out that loophole and get Max Verstappen penalized, but then you open up that can of worms of losing the respect from the other drivers and sort of a gentleman's agreement, so to speak, that the other drivers can easily now just do that to you. Like, Max could literally just do that in Abu Dhabi, drive fast on an outlap into the rear of George Russell, not actually into the car, but into his area, and then go, whoa, he's driving way too slowly and being dangerous, and then George Russell gets a penalty, and then there'll be a karma from both him and GP. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see that next time at Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, for sure. Starting grid for our race, George Russell, of course, promoted to pole position for being a snitch on Max Verstappen. Max Verstappen getting downgraded or demoted from pole to P2. We had a second row lockout for the McLarens: Lando Norris P3, Oscar Piastri P4, Charles Leclerc P5, Lewis Hamilton P6, Carlos Sainz P7, and Fernando Alonso rounding out the fourth row in P8. Now, the race as it started, I feel like, you know, yes, there was a DNF right off the bat with Colapinto Con, and that was due to Hulkenberg starting on the hards, not having any grip. So with the exception of that, I felt like the race was kind of boring until all of the sort of madness started
until
happening.
Until Mirrorgate happened.
Exactly. with all of the safety cards, the yellow flags and the penalties. But like right off the bat, we have, was it on the first turn that this happened with Hulkenberg and Colapinto?
Yeah, Hulkenberg loses the rear. Ocon then has to move and then Colapinto gets caught up in it. Yeah.
Exactly. So every car started on mediums with the exception of Hulkenberg. And of course, like, you know, it was a strategy decision. Maybe he was going to be able to stay out a little longer, gain some track position. But it's later in the year. It's maybe a little cooler. Maybe it was hard to get those hard tires up to temperature. And he just lost grip and took out Esteban Ocon. And Colapinto, who was trying to go wide on it, also ended up being a victim of that. Nothing he did wrong. So Ocon and Colapinto's race ended right off the bat, which was unfortunate. And we then learn that it ends up being Esteban Ocon's last race for Alpine, which we'll talk about later, which is like super sad. Safety car comes out, ends like lap four. But off that first turn, even though George Russell was promoted to pole, Max took P1 right back.
I think Max said it. There was some sort of conversation, I think, where Max said, "I'm going to absolutely send it into turn one." And I think there's a lot of conversations after where Christian was like, he was fully motivated after that penalty. And when Max is fully motivated and geared up like that, then you put him in a difficult situation. So sometimes you actually don't want to do something like what George Russell did and take away that pole position. He might have been in a more relaxed mindset and you might have had the opportunity to jump him if he started in P2 than Max in P1. And I think George then, I'm going to say it, was a bit of a wimp into turn one. He backed out of it big time. And then that allowed Norris to go up the inside. And then I think Norris backed out of it too. Norris, I fully understand, because McLaren wants to try and wrap up this Constructor Championship as soon as possible. And I think they probably gave the McLaren drivers instructions that was just like, get the cars home today. There's a good chance we can score points and wrap it up today. But there's also a really good chance that we can just put ourselves in a position that's going to make it really difficult for Ferrari to catch us up in Abu Dhabi, regardless of whether we win it today or not. So don't go for anything silly. And yes, Lando could have tried to hold it around the outside, but how many times has Lando tried to hold it around the outside on Max Verstappen, and Verstappen has closed that door and they've come very, very close. So I think Lando was wise to that, settle for P2 and got P2 from George backing out of it at turn one.
And like, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, but if I was a betting man and Max Verstappen is on that front row, regardless of whether it's P1 or P2, I would bet that he's going to take the lead.
Yeah.
Regardless of what,
especially if
he's
starting on the inside line as well. If he's starting on the inside line, give up. It's game over, because he is going to brake later than you and get that car to the apex first and then use all of the exit of the corner to make sure that he's going to close that door, so you have to back out. So unless you have an absolute swooper around the outside, it's signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah. So safety car ends like around lap four. You know, we have Lawson spin off trying to get past Valtteri, lost grip. Alonso around lap eight is complaining on the radio about Aston Martin's speed on the straights. You know, he must be incredibly frustrated, because Aston Martin was just, I feel like their trajectory was just going up, up, up at the beginning of like 2023.
Yeah.
Especially when he had that podium at Monaco. He was getting like a ton of podiums in an Aston Martin, and everyone thought that like Aston Martin was on the rise, and then just something happened and they have not been able to figure out that car since.
It's having an absolute stinker this season, and Fernando is not necessarily enjoying it. I don't think he had a particularly exciting race, had a good result from it in the end, but in terms of the on-track action, just seemed to be getting overtaken over and over again at the start. As you say, no straight line speed, really struggled there. And yeah, it was just disappointing for them. It did come a little bit better towards the end, but in that first stage, it was like Aston could actually be last of the running at this race. Because at this point, you know, Stroll was just about hanging on until he got that penalty, and then they served it and then they retired him. But before that, he was last, and Alonso was slowly dropping through the field.
Yeah. Lap seven, Stroll is going to retire, but then he rejoins the race to serve a 10-second penalty so he doesn't have to serve it at a future race like Abu Dhabi. So at this point, lap 10, we already have three cars out. Then, like, you know, we had, like, what I felt like was, I don't know. It was a pretty boring race, in my opinion, until we had the safety car. We had the mirror gate.
Mirror gate, yeah.
And essentially what happened, if you didn't watch the race yet, there was a side mirror just chilling on the track. And I want to know, why did they not put out a safety car or a virtual safety car to clear it?
Yeah. I think on this one, the FIA are in a sticky position because I think if they just brought out the safety car, there would also be a large amount of people that'd be like, oh, why are they bringing out a safety car for such a small thing? Like, blah, blah, blah. They're doomed if they do, doomed if they don't. But I do think they should have thrown the virtual and then at least tried to see when the cars were all slowed down to see if it was possible to remove the mirror. Because I know that they said the
beaver.
Cars were...
It wasn't a beaver like Yuki Tsunoda thought
No, yeah, what the hell was that? He thought it was a beaver.
He misheard his race engineer. And he goes, yeah, my engineer said there was a beaver in the track.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, incredible.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, put out the virtual safety car and then see if that there is enough of a gap for a marshal just to quickly run on, grab the mirror, run back. Because when the cars are slowed down under a virtual safety car delta, or maybe they could even turn the delta up so the cars are just going slightly slower just for a moment, little bit of time, just enough time for the marshal. I think the drivers would prefer that the gaps stay the same rather than a safety car to bunch everyone back up and kind of like get everybody moving so long. And then, of course, clear up all the debris from the shattered mirror now that it is.
But the thing is, like, it's not like it was a ton of debris where you have to get out with like a broom and sweep it up and get little pieces. It was one piece.
Yeah.
Slow down the race, have someone run out and grab it.
Yeah.
Because what happened, the reason Valtteri Bottas ran over it is, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, he was a back marker at that point and he was getting a blue flag.
Like,
so he moved out of the way to let cars pass. But in moving out of the way, he ran over the mirror, which created a ton of debris, which then caused Hamilton and Sainz to get a puncture, which totally ruined Lewis Hamilton's race.
I don't actually know if that's what caused the puncture for those two.
Oh, interesting.
Because,
I thought it did.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a coincidence that it happened around the same time. But you've got to bear in mind that these cars have done over 30 laps on the medium tyres. And in Qatar, because it is a very high speed circuit, especially towards that end of the circuit where you've got that triple right-hander, that's putting a lot of load on the front left. And the fact that it happened to the front left for both Sainz and Hamilton, for me, I believe that was just down to load and pushing the tires too hard, not
so
down
you
to...
think that you think the debris was a red herring.
Yeah, I don't think it was, because also the debris and the way that it smashed and flew out the back of Bottas, it shot to the right of the circuit, it shot to where the pit lane exit was and to that side. So for it to be over on the left and the left front, I don't think it was down to the debris. I think it was down to the load of the tyres, and was actually a really good time that the safety car did come out, because more drivers would have had punctures. And we've seen it before in Qatar. We saw it to Valtteri Bottas in 2021 when we went there. It's just that load on the front left is a lot, punishes the tyres a lot. And sadly for Hamilton and Sainz, they just got caught out by it.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I thought it was from the debris. If it's not, then that's my bad. But we had the safety car out about five laps too late, lap 35. Russell then goes into pit again because he was one of the first, like, in the top of the grid it felt like Russell was going for the undercut, switch from mediums to hards. Was having a tough time on the hards. Yep. He then goes to pit again with 20 laps left, and they put him back on the hards. And he was so pissed.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if they had any spare mediums left. I assume they did, because I think Toto said in hindsight, yeah, he probably should have gone to mediums. And I think they really should have, because they'd already run the hards.
Yeah.
They already seen how bad the Hards were at getting up to temperature. A safety car restart. Yeah. Russell could have actually pounced on a couple of drivers there.
And so we had this pit lane parade happening while they were trying to clear away the debris following the safety car. And, you know, that happens for a while. Lap 40, safety car ends. And I feel I felt like, with the exception of the very start of the race, this restart on lap 40 was very exciting.
Yeah.
I feel like for a brief moment, for like 30 seconds, we got some like really exciting, like wheel-to-wheel racing. We had like Lando and Max going at it. And also up and down the grid, there was some very, very close racing. It was very exciting. And then things sort of settled in. I'm just not a fan of the race. I'm just not a fan of this race.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think much happened. Like, safety cars breed safety cars, and it made it exciting. It's one of those, like, it was artificial excitement, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The safety car lights, I believe, were broken. Meant that they didn't actually go out when the safety car was supposed to be coming in that lap. So, therefore, Max didn't know that the safety car's coming in that lap. So, doesn't have the time to build up the tire temperatures and get yourself ready and get yourself prepared for when you go for the safety car restart. So, instead, went quite late. And that also allowed Lando Norris to be very close to him and have that opportunity to go for the overtake. But again, just couldn't make it because Max is just a star at defending on the inside.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Lap 44, we find out Lando Norris gets a 10-second stop-and-go penalty for not lifting under a yellow flag.
Yeah. Do you think it was harsh?
I felt like it was incredibly harsh. I feel like it should not have been a stop and go penalty because a 10 second stop and go penalty essentially is a 30 second penalty for having to go in and out of the pit. So like, why was it not a 5 second time penalty or a 10 second time penalty? Making it a stop and go penalty like that totally ruined his race. And I feel like it was harsh because I don't, maybe he didn't like lift to the point that he should have, but it felt like it wasn't so much of an offense that it gave him an incredible advantage. That makes sense.
Agree with what you're saying, but I'm going to change your mind here, and I'm going to tell you why it was fully deserved. First of all, in the rules, if you do not lift under a double yellow, you get a 10-second stop-go. Happened to Nicholas Latifi 2021, I think it was, and Nikita Mazepin in 2021 or 2020, whatever season he was racing. It happened to those two. It's also, I believe, happened to Kimi Räikkönen in 2017 for the same instance. So there's certain rules in the rule book that have penalties that are applied to. If you break this, is what you get. And that is that. Now, when there's a double waved yellow flag, what that means is slow down, but be prepared to stop. Now, as a driver, you do not know what that double yellow flag is waved for. It could be a single mirror on the track that is nowhere near the racing line and no danger to you at all. It could also mean there's a lot of marshals on the track, there's a tractor on the track, slow down because you could have a horrific accident. And that is why it should be the harshest penalty applied. Because the rule is there for marshal safety. Marshals at the end of the day are volunteers. They don't get paid for what they do. They're volunteers. They do an incredible job. Their safety, I think, as F1 fans, we can all agree, is fundamental. If you break a rule that puts their safety in danger, you deserve the harshest penalty. And Lando admitted that. Lando said that in the interview, said, it was my mistake, and I think the penalty was fair because he understands the danger that he could have put someone in. Very lucky, nothing happened, no one was there, and it was just a mirror. And people will use that argument and say, oh, but it was just a mirror, so it doesn't matter. But it's what it could have been. You don't know what they could have been, and that is why it should have been the harshest penalty applied.
Okay, you have changed my mind. Thank you.
Let's go.
Okay, so moving on. That's 10 seconds stop-go penalty puts Lando Norris dead last from the remaining cars. Lap 49, Hamilton wants to retire, and he's just told no.
Yeah, he's got to serve a drive-through penalty and join Lando in jail.
Yeah, so he has to serve for a penalty for speeding through the pit lane.
Another one that I think other people thought was harsh as well. A lot of people were complaining that it was a harsh penalty. I believe the rules are, and Bernie Collins said this on Sky, so shout out to her. Absolutely amazing having her on the broadcast, because she does an incredible job. But she said that if you speed within 0 to 6 kph over, it's one of the smaller penalties that we've seen before. But if you go over 6 kph, then it's a drive through. It's between 6 and something else. I can't remember the second number. I think maybe it was like 12 or 20 kph. If you're between that, then it's a drive through penalty. And because Lewis forgot to press the button, that's why he sped up to over that. And because he got to that point, it's a drive through penalty. And it's another one of those penalties that's automatically applied. And do you know what? I've been saying this quite a lot. I'm quite glad that we are getting harsher penalties again, because for so many times we have seen just a 5 second or just a 10 second here, which then in the reality of the race, because it's spread out, means absolutely nothing. And I think there have been some offences in the past that have deserved like a 10 second stop and go for penalties or a drive through penalty for what they've done, because I think we've just been a little bit too harsh. And also, I believe it was in the F2 this weekend. It finished under safety car. I think it was a sprint race. And there was a couple of drivers who got penalties post-race applied. But instead of applying a time penalty that would have seen them drop all the way down the field, they got given like a two-place penalty, which I think was a more fair penalty to be given as well, rather than giving a five-second penalty that could mean nothing if you were racing under normal race conditions, but could mean the difference between finishing second and finishing 16th, finishing under a safety car. So I think in terms of penalties applied, I think everything was spot on this weekend. Apart from maybe the Max Verstappen one was for losing a grid place.
Okay, fair enough. We had two more DNFs to sort of round out our race. Checo Perez retired, I believe, after lap 38. Nico Hülkenberg around lap 39. Finally, our race ends. Max Verstappen with a fairly comfortable lead. Not as big as we saw in 2023, but Max ended up winning the race by 6 seconds on Charles Leclerc. Max Verstappen P1, Charles Leclerc P2, Oscar Piastri P3, and our boy George Russell PR63.
P4, what a drive. What a comeback.
P4. 14 seconds behind the race leader. And then a very impressive drive from Pierre Gasly, P5. Like, you go, Glenn Coco. Like, what he's been able to do in that Alpine has been like so, so impressive. And I wonder if it's raising eyebrows from some of the other top teams seeing the kind of performance he can get out of that Alpine.
I think it's also kudos to Alpine on the rise. They have been developing the car. They brought a new front wing, I believe, a new nose, whether that was last week as well and this week, but wasn't given to Esteban Ocon, but was given to Pierre Gasly, which makes sense. I think we can all understand that. We talked about it a lot over the season that, you know, a driver's on the way out, they're not going to get the updates first. If they only have one set of updates, it's always going to go to the driver who's going to be there next season, so he can give the feedback for how he finds it, of course improving the car for when he drives next season as well. So it makes sense, but that is a reason why he is such a step ahead, of course, of Ocon. But Alpine, of course, improving, and I think they are maybe ahead of Haas in terms of performance, and are the best of the rest now, you know, in that P5 slot in terms of performance. You've got, of course, Red Bull, McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes. They're the top four teams. Then I think it's
Alpine. Aston is still P5 in the standings.
Yeah,
though,
but
even
I don't
performance
think
has dropped off.
I don't think they're that sort of pace in performance.
Yeah, but ultimately, like, I still am not convinced. Like, I don't love Qatar, the Qatar Grand Prix. I don't love LaSalle. There's also something about the environment there. It feels like a liminal space. Like, it feels like if a back room, if a like a circuit was a back room, if that makes sense. Are you familiar with the subgenre of back rooms?
No.
So, like, it feels like a liminal space in that, like, there feels to be no fan atmosphere there. Okay. And I know there were some shots, like, on the hill, and there were some fans there, but, like, it didn't feel like there was, like, a vibe and an energy and an ambiance that you see at other circuits. Like, I felt like I was watching a race in, like, a video game space.
Yeah.
It just felt sort of like empty and cold, if that makes sense.
I think it's not helped when it's a night race as well, because it makes it so difficult to see fans. And it could be a wise decision. I look at Jeddah being a night race, and I try and think of where the grandstands are and where they are around that circuit. And I just don't feel like there's many apart from the start-finish straight. So there's not a lot of areas for fans to be. And with it being a night race, you don't get to see that to say, oh, there's no fans there. Like with Vegas, with the practice, a lot. I know that a lot of people talked about not a lot of fans being there for practice. You said, because you were there, that actually, do you know what? It was, from where what I could see, there was quite a lot of fans during the qualifying and the race. But because it's a night race, you have no idea. So they could be covering up the fact that it's quite empty, or it could be actually really, really alive and a great atmosphere. But because it's nighttime, you just don't really get to see that.
Yeah, and it could just be how the broadcast was portraying it. Mm. I'm just like commenting on what I was able to see at home watching the race. But yeah, so our podium rounded out Max P1, Charles Leclerc P2, Oscar Piastri P3. A surprising appearance in the points for Kevin Magnussen. Props to him. Second to last race, possibly ever in Formula One. Lando Norris was able to climb back up to P10, getting 2 points for 1 point for P10, 1 point for fastest lap. But the star of the show, which everybody was so excited about.
Yes.
Your boy, Zhou Guan Yu, finishing in P8 and getting driver of the day.
I was so happy. I was so happy. And he's just had such a tough season. The upgrades have always gone to Bottas first. He's always been second in terms of getting upgrades. And then because a lot of people see it on face value, we'll just see him off the pace of his teammate and say, oh, this guy sucks. He doesn't deserve a seat in Formula One. He's awful. Which is just not the case, because he's not had the upgrades. I think in terms of quali pace, I agree. Bottas is a better qualifying driver, but Bottas has always been an amazing qualifying driver. He could go toe-to-toe with Hamilton during the good seasons that Hamilton had when he was dominating the championship. Where Bottas lacks was consistency and race pace, and I think in race pace, when they do have an equal car, Zhou beats him the majority of times. I think Bottas did get unlucky this race weekend, but I do think Zhou had a fantastic race. Perfect race. So consistent. Didn't put a foot wrong. And was rewarded because of it. And I've not been so tense for the last 10 laps watching someone finish P8 for a long, long time. But I was so, so happy. And not only for him, but for the team, who have also had a really difficult season and have come close at times to getting points. Even at the start of the season, you know, Zhou's got the best result of the team before this, which was P11 in Bahrain. Yep. But to finally get some points on the board, which is great. It also means that he's now ahead of Liam Lawson in the standings, and he's 20th in the driver's standings now. So he's not going to be, at the moment, unless Liam Lawson scores any points, he's not going to fit into that meme of being like, oh yeah, you finished 21st out of a 20-driver championship or something like that. So he's P20 now. But who knows what can happen in Abu Dhabi. That Stake Sauber team seems to be at least in the mix a little bit, with a chance of points if something happens. So fingers crossed that they can maybe just add to their tally in the last round.
Are you predicting a double podium for Sauber?
I'm predicting the race win, end it on a high, and then he'd be straight back in with another team next season. Could you imagine? I would be through the roof if that happened.
I just want to say, this is one of the reasons why I love Formula One. And in what other sport could you be this excited about someone getting eighth place?
Yeah. Yeah. I fully agree. And I think this is just another reason why Formula One should never ever be a spec series, and sometimes why
yeah.
domination is a good thing to have your front runners and to have the people yeah. that you then root for, but then when they start to win, then you're like, I don't root for them anymore. I want them to be their crown to be taken off them. And then there's yeah. also your underdog and your underperforming teams that have these great stories throughout the season. It's been a great story for Stake and sort of that term, that it's been a tough season for them. They've come so close so many times, but they've also had some absolute howlers. Look at the pit stops at the start of the year. And then to end the season, they're picking up 4 points. You know, DTS might possibly be all over this, might not, because it's a team at the back of the grid that maybe they don't want to focus on. But yeah. for them at least, you know, this is going to be... would have been a great weekend and fully deserved to be celebrating.
Yeah, that was a really nice feel-good moment, and super happy for Zhou Guanyu and super happy for Stake/Kick/Sauber. So now in the standings, McLaren, because of Lando Norris finishing further down in the points, McLaren only has a 21-point lead in the constructor standings. Still a pretty comfortable lead, but not... so comfortable that the constructor's title is guaranteed. So I think that's going to make a very exciting Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. It's still, you know, between Ferrari and McLaren, it's anyone's championship to win. Also, Charles Leclerc creeping up a little bit on Lando Norris, only 8 points behind him in the driver standings.
Yeah, Lando Norris could be doing a Tottenham Hotspur from the season when Leicester won the Premier League, where they finished third in a two-horse championship battle, which I just know that those Lando Norris haters are absolutely loving right now to see that it could happen. I think him and Scholl have been close throughout the whole season. I think Scholl, because he wasn't the driver in second in the championship, was never really talked about getting involved in it. And maybe because also he hasn't had... I think McLaren have had the better car this season. But Charles Leclerc finishing second would be huge. And I think he's had an incredible season, you know, picking up a race win in Monaco, in Monza. And he won another one, didn't he? He won 3 races this year. I think he's won another one. What did he win?
He's won 3. Yeah.
Why did he win the other one? Can't think.
Shit.
Was it USA? Was it COTA?
It might have been COTA.
Or was it Mexico? Science won in Mexico.
This is going to bother me.
Yeah, this is going to bother me now as well.
We're gonna figure that out right now.
He won in Monza. He didn't win in Zandvoort. Didn't win in Singapore.
There's yes.
people screaming
yes.
at home, being
yes.
like, "It was
Coda.
This. It was okay. It was Coda.
It was Coda.
Why can't
yeah,
I
you're
not
right.
remember
okay.
him winning at Coda? That's crazy.
I don't know. You kind of you have like a photographic memory when you were citing violations. Under double yellow flags. I'm like, how does he remember this shit?
Honestly, you would think that, oh, you must have been so good at school, just like remembering anything. Anything I ever needed, right, would not remember, would completely forget. Stuff that at the time was completely useless to me, forgotten. Now, thankfully, I've made this my job and it's okay that I can recite this memory and it's become useful information now. But back then doing college and school, yeah, it wasn't useful to me. And all the stuff that was useful would just go away and I just forget it very, very quickly.
amazing. So I know there's like a few news things that we can talk about, but let's maybe push that to later this week when we do our Abu Dhabi race preview. Does that
yeah.
sound good to you?
Yeah, I think so. We've got a few things to talk about. We will save Ocon's departure for next week. I think we've got a lot to talk about. We'll save it for this week, sorry. We're going to have another podcast later on in the week. We're going to be talking about the Abu Dhabi preview and, as James said, the news that obviously has come out. Mainly focus at the moment, I'd say, is the Ocon departure. But we've got a lot of stuff really to hype up of this last weekend with Hamilton's last race at Mercedes, Magnussen, Hülkenberg moving on from Haas, Magnussen potentially out of Formula 1, Bottas and Zhou out of Stake, potentially both out of Formula 1 as well. So we'll save that for a very juicy pre-finale podcast.
Yeah. Also, just another reminder, if anybody wants to join me at the 24-hour Le Mans, check out Motorsport Travel Destinations. That's Motorsport Travel Destinations in your Google. But I'm sad. I'm sad that the season's almost over.
Same. And honestly, it's been such an exciting season that has just missed one thing, and that is a tense championship battle down to the wire. A back and forth championship battle, not just a catch up, a hunter being hunted, or a hunter doing the hunting. We just sadly missed that back and forth that we had in maybe like 2021. But other than that, you know,
yeah,
we've had so many different race winners, so many multiple race winners. You go back before this race, we had six different race winners in the last six races before we came to Qatar. And I think we've just been, it's a joy, and I'm really, really excited for 2025. And I just wish that, you know, we can only have like a couple of weeks break, just come back straight after Christmas, like second week of January, and just get straight into it, because I'm really excited for it. It's going to be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, absolute banger of a season.
Right, that is going to wrap up today's podcast then. That is all for Qatar. We will be chatting more about Abu Dhabi, the finale, all the news, as I've said, in a podcast later on in the week. So if you haven't done so already, make sure you're following on whatever audio platform you're currently listening to at the moment. If more F1 news drops, or if you want to hear all the latest gossip and rumours, then make sure, of course, you follow the WTF on socials. You'll see all of that over there as well. Check out myself and James on socials too. And we will see you later on the week with that Abu Dhabi preview. Until then, have a good rest of wherever you are. Till then, bye-bye.
Bye.